This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. That's right, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org. Great to be in the Sunbury Motor Studio on this Friday. Now we have guest-wise, we are where here, Todd?
We have Nick Fairbaugh from PittsburghSteelers.now.
Hello, Nick. How are you doing, my friend? Great to have you with us.
I'm doing very well, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Well, it's great to have you on, by the way. And let's start with the OTAs. And I want to start with the thought of the OTAs. There's been some talk lately, Nick, about, you know what, maybe we'll expand training camp. You know, I'm talking about the players' side of it. And let's skip the spring stuff. What's your thought on that and the value of OTAs?
Yeah, I think OTAs lay the foundation for what you're going to do in training camp. But I do think it's a little odd, personally, that they take 5 to 6 weeks off. I think that's a little weird because you lay the foundation in May and early June, but then you go home for 5 weeks and who knows what happens. I know that, you know, there's a thought that a lot of these guys are going to show up to training camp, you know, overweight or out of shape because maybe they push it back 5 weeks. From what I know and from who I've talked to, you know, in the kind of football world, the Steelers players, a lot of these guys overtrain during that 5 weeks off, and it can lead to some, you know, early injuries. And we see a lot of guys early in training camp, you know, pull hamstrings. A lot of that's due to overcompensation. That's part of what the study showed. So I think, you know, moving it back and making it one consolidated thing where it goes into OTAs and then into training camp, I think it's a good move personally. You can still have the rookies come in early and really get to know each other during rookie minicamp. I don't think you move that. But I don't think OTAs need to happen right after that. Where you kind of have this five-week layover that doesn't really make sense because a lot of guys sometimes overtrain and actually come out worse for it. And there's not, you know, a clear vision for what all the guys are training for. They're training on different things, and it can really kind of, I guess, dilute the messaging, dilute kind of the training. So having that one singular focus, I think, you know, from June through the end of January, I think that actually would help them. So I think a lot of players are going to be in favor of this.
All right, so let's get to the rookie part of it. How valuable, in your opinion, Nick, are OTAs for rookies, and how important are OTAs for the evaluation of rookies by the coaching staffs?
I think maybe not as much evaluation. I think from a mental standpoint, I'm sure that that's really important because you're installing your offense or defense during the time, special teams as well. So installing that and seeing kind of their retention of the knowledge that they get is important. I think what's more important is, you know, all these veterans being around during OTAs. I think that's really where we kind of see the growth here is. For the Steelers, for example, Troy Faletonu gets to bounce off Isaac Seumalo and James Daniels. These guys all have been in the NFL for six-plus years. I think that is a valuable tool. You don't get that. You know, you cannot show up to OTAs and you can train on your own with your trainer wherever you are, but you don't get to bounce off ideas off a veteran, off another guy. You know, am I doing this right? How do you run this route and this kind of look? All of that different kind of minutia and nuance, I think, is why OTAs is so important. It's a team-building aspect. There's a lot of new, too. With the Steelers, obviously, you know, you see the quarterbacks and the new offense. So there's a lot of new, so you get to talk to the coaches, kind of see what they want. And then, you know, when you go back specifically during this five-week period that they're going to have, then you know how to train specifically for your offense. I think that's where it's really valuable. Not as much in, say, evaluating what happens on the football field, but how they do things. The retention of it all. That's where I think this is really valuable, and getting that mentorship among the locker room, I think, is another thing that's very important at OTAs.
And of all the years, this is a year where they have the two new quarterbacks in there, and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. What's the intrigue surrounding them, and then the possibility that's been at least floated that the Cordell Stewart slash position comes back because of Fields?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of intrigue around these guys. You know, it's the different skill set from what they had. I think that both these guys can air the ball out all over the football field. I think their arm talent sticks out. That's the thing, one thing that has really struck out to me. You know, you look at Russell Wilson, even if he's not what he was in his heyday in Seattle, the arm talent, the ability to throw that deep ball is still fantastic. He's got that. It is not gone. The deep ball's accuracy is fantastic. Justin Fields is a guy that could throw it really all over the field, all over the yard, and you're going to get it into, you know, tight windows. So I think that's where intrigue comes from. There's more arm talent, so you can do more different things with the scheme. I think with Justin Fields specifically on the ground game, I think there's going to be a package for him. You know, I think you have to. You think he's going to play like wide receiver, you know, like Cordell did back in his day, but I do think you're going to see Justin Fields as a wildcat quarterback. You're going to see him running read option. You're going to see him even throwing out of that because he can, and he's such a talented runner. He is a dynamic football player, very tough to bring down. You see him in person. He is built. His lower body is extremely well built, and he's tough to bring down. You can understand why he runs through arm tackles, and he runs with the physicality that most quarterbacks are not willing to do. So that's going to be a thing. I'm very certain of it because Justin Fields is going to be one of their best weapons with the ball in his hands. And if you want that run game to be enhanced with Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris, you're going to want another guy in there that can really add another level to it. And Arthur Smith's been great with the quarterback run game. He had Marcus Mariota, did a great job with him at the helm. So I think Justin Fields is going to have a package there. And if he eventually starts, I also think, you know, that will be a big part of the game. It will be the quarterback run game.
Well, there's another element, too. Imagine how much time opposing teams are going to have to take in just preparing for it when they could be preparing for something else. I think that's a big element, too.
I think it's an important element. You know, I always think the wrinkle, you know, when the Saints had Taysom Hill during the Drew Brees days, I think, you know, him giving a different look always caused teams to have to compensate time to Taysom Hill, and then you still had Drew Brees dotting it up over the middle of the field with his, you know, precision accuracy. I think, you know, Russell Wilson's going to be such a different quarterback. You'll see some design runs with him, but, you know, not nearly as much. He's not as dynamic as he was during his Seattle days, but you'll see him, you know, play action, deep ball stuff, stay in the pocket. I think they're going to try and do that. And so that's completely different from, say, read option, you know, off that. Or you can maybe get the bootleg action with Russell Wilson, but you're going to see Justin Fields legitimately actually run a bootleg and take it for himself. And the dynamic ability of these guys out of structure is another thing to where you're going to have to prepare for it. So it's just another layer to it. In the run game specifically, you look at how layered this run game is going to be with all that they have. There's going to be a lot to plan for. So I think that's to the advantage of the Steelers. I think they'd be, you know, wise to use Justin Fields and what he brings to the table.
All right. So that's the next part is the draft. They went out and went offensive line, tackle, center. What can this now do to protection? What can this now do potentially to the running game?
Yeah, protection's the big one. I think that it does enhance the run game. I think, you know, Frazier and Fa'utano are both very athletic guys that work in space. You look at what Arthur Smith likes to do, likes to run a lot of those zone runs where you have to get out in space, go to get the linebackers, go to get those safeties. Fa'utano is a special athlete for the position. He really is. The way he moves for an offensive tackle, I mean, he looks like he's moving like a tight end at times. He's got that explosiveness and fluidity. So I think that'll help in the run game. They'll be able to, you know, really dial up whatever they want in the run game because I think the range of the linemen they're going to have, you know, 1 through 5, with Jones obviously being a very great athlete too, and then you have Daniels and Sayamalu and Frazier, all these guys that are going to be able to really get out in space and make these really tough blocks that usually as an offensive coordinator you wouldn't call, but they have athletic players that can make these tough blocks. So I think it's going to open up a lot for Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris and be, you know, tricky with what they want to do. I think in pass pro, that's the big thing because you look at Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, both of these guys were number 1 and 2 respectively in time to throw. They held the ball the most. They got sacked a ton because they run into pressure. So I think the more stable your offensive line is, the more likely it is you'll have Fields and Wilson stay in the pocket And so I think that is really an important thing for the Steelers, is keeping Wilson and Fields kind of can. Now, eventually, they're going to run into sacks. I think that's just something that is unfortunately part of their skill set, and there's going to be some negativity with it, but you want to minimize it, especially with Russell Wilson. If you can put Russell Wilson in the pocket, and then, you know, he can air out the deep balls, I think he can really be a solid quarterback. That's what made Sean Payton successful with him as much as he was last year. Yeah. Russell Wilson was contained more in the pocket. So I think when you have better pass protection with, you know, Zach Frazier and Troy Faletong in there, you're going to minimize the negativity of those two guys, and that's really what you want.
What would be your biggest couple of takes out of the Steelers' OTAs moving forward?
Yeah, I think one of the takeaways is Arthur Smith's detail. I think it's much better than Matt Canada. That's not saying much, but I remember last year, you know, a lot of guys telling me how defenses were reading their stuff before the snap. It wasn't hard to kind of decipher what the Steelers were going to do. So there's not as many tells. It's a more diverse kind of skill set that they have in there. You have, you know, multiple tight ends. You can spread them out, condense them, really whatever you want to do. But the detail he actually coaches with, you know, guys aren't left wondering why they're doing this, how they're doing this against this look. Right. I think that's 101 OCing, which is more of an indictment of the predecessor for Smith, but
yes.
I think it's something to note. Another thing that I really have noticed in these OTAs is the locker room leadership that both quarterbacks have taken. Fields and Wilson, for whatever you think of them, have been there, done that, know what it's like to be the face of a franchise for multiple years. They know how to operate as a professional, how to lead a locker room. That is very clear. You know, that makes it a lot easier when you have a lot of new around you, whether that's Arthur Smith, yeah, whoever. It makes it a lot easier to consolidate and kind of get into a groove. And so that's really been something. In terms of on the field, you know, I think personally I've only been strengthened in the belief we're going to see a lot of Pat Fryer moves this year. I think that is going to be a big one. He's moving all around the formation, outside, inside, slot. He's running all the different routes. They are using him very similarly to how they use Johnny Smith, Kyle Pitts. You look at how tight ends have done in the past in this offense, and they have done extremely well. I think he's due for a big year and a contract year. He seems locked in, very excited. They're going to really try to unleash his ability this season. And I think the last one that I really have taken to heart is I think Minkah Fitzpatrick is going to benefit from the addition of Deshaun Elliott. I think, you know, that's something that's gone under the radar. Minkah Fitzpatrick kind of played in the slot, in the box a lot last year, was not as much deep in his safety position, which is where he got a lot of those interceptions, his ball hawking. Elliott's going to take up that role, and Minkah Fitzpatrick's going to be back to what he was doing. He was an all-pro. So I think that could be a big boost for the secondary.
And that's huge for them, because if you can free up Fitzpatrick, I think that changes the dynamic of the offense, because his ability to get to the ball has always been impressive to me, and you can do that if you have more freedom to do instead of being locked in.
Absolutely, and I think that's what they took Minkah Fitzpatrick into the slot, and, you know, at strong safety, because they needed the run defense boost with Cam Hayward hurt. And Minkah Fitzpatrick's a great box safety, but he's not in the position to make as many plays. And
right.
I think what really made him dynamic in, say, 2021, 2019, 2020, when he was a guy that you had to account for at every snap, is you didn't know where he was going to line up. And he could be in the box. He could be in the slot. He could be a free safety. He could be a robber in the middle of the field. He didn't do that as much last year. So quarterbacks were a little less concerned about what 39 was. And so when you have to account for where he is on every single snap, it leads to errant decisions. It leads to him getting big plays. And that's, I think, really where things are going to take it up for the secondary. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick getting back to who he is going to be a huge part of this defense, maintaining their level and accelerating what they had last year. He should be a big part of that.
What an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time. Love the conversation.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. I appreciate it, as always.
Same here.